At this time, we call on the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Hanan, the President of Yeshiva University, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. Dr. Lamb.
The victim was a general, a hero of his people, deeply involved in the political and diplomatic issues of his government. And he came unsuspecting in peace, wanting peace, expecting peace. Followed by the assassin, he knew nothing of what lay in store for him. But then the stalking assassin struck, and within a moment, the leader lay dead, laid low, not by an enemy of Israel, but by the hand of a fellow Jew. Thus was Avner ben Ner killed by Yoav. And when King David heard the news, he was horrified. And at the funeral, he pronounced the following immortal words: Yodecha lo asuros, v'raglecha lo l'nechushtayim yugoshu. Your hands were not bound, nor were your feet put in chains. One would have expected of him to die gloriously on the field of battle, slain by an enemy in the course of combat on behalf of his people. Instead, he was done in by one of his own, in stealth. We assemble here today at Yeshiva University to mourn and honor a modern Avner ben Ner, and we are filled with grief and with apprehension. Let me begin my hesped with a few lines from a sugya which all of you learned, or perhaps are still learning, at the beginning of Shavuot, the parak that we are learning. Ezeu Isar Ha'omer B'Torah, which is the Isar, the Shavuot that is mentioned in the Torah, Ha'omer, Harei Olai Shelo Ochal Basa V'Shelo Eshteh Yayin, make a Shavuot I won't eat meat or drink wine, Kiyom Shemeis Bo Oviv, Kiyom Shemeis Bo Ploni, Kiyom Sheneherag Bo Gedalia ben Achikam, Kiyom Shera Yerushalayim b'Cherbana. I won't eat and drink wine, meat, like the day that my father died, like the day that so-and-so died, like the day that Gedalia ben Achikam was killed, like the day that I saw Yerushalayim in its korban. Now I can understand Kiyom Shemeis Bo Oviv, something very personal. I can understand Kiyom Shemeis Bo Ploni, human being died. I can understand Kiyom Shera Yerushalayim B'Cherbona, something of national consequence. But why Kiyom Shemeis Bo Gedalia Ben Achikam? Why the day that Gedalia was killed? And the answer is, I believe, that the day that Gedalia was killed includes all three of the above: the personal, the human, and the national. And in addition, it had fateful consequences for Klal Yisrael for all its future. It was something that went beyond an immediate, beyond the moment, beyond local significance. So with Yitzchak Rabin, Yitzchak Ben Nechemia, Kiyom Shemeis Bo Ploni, he was a human being, a very special human being, not the caricature depicted by those who demonized and dehumanized him. He was tense, very tense, thoughtful, introspective, and from what I knew of him, a rather humble person, not arrogant. And if he was nervous and addictive, he had good reason to be. Kiyom Shemeis Bo Aviv, we knew him personally. Yeshiva University gave Yitzhak Rabin an honorary degree. I met him a number of times. I think the first time was when he was ambassador to the United States. And I must tell you, he always acted with derech eretz, respectful, personally deferential, and he always had the highest regard for yeshiva and a man of manners. Kiyom she'ra Yerushalayim b'churbana, Yitzchak Rabin was a national figure and even an international personality. Witness that remarkable array of distinguished world leaders who came to his funeral this morning. And just as the murder of Gedaliah ben Achikam led to the dissolution of the Jewish state and the beginning of the hardest part of Golus in the days of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, so the assassination of Yitzchak Rabin may yet, chas v'sholom, leave in its wake consequences as disastrous as they are unforeseen. Talmidim, friends, Avelis contains within it an element and a challenge to tshuva, and it is therefore appropriate for us to practice a little cheshbon ha-nefesh, to examine ourselves and learn if we in any way can improve what we are doing and how we are acting so as to make our contribution to avoid such catastrophes in the future. Let me begin these few ruminations by saying that in addition to shock and grief, I, for one, experience a vital element of tshuva, and that is busha, profound shame and embarrassment. Let's say it. The assassin was one of us, a religious student who did it, even if he is a madman. Baruch Goldstein and Yigal Amir were otherwise fine representatives of what we stand for. Most everyone possesses within himself a seething cauldron of passions, noxious energies that, if released, can destroy recklessly and with abandon. But we have been civilized by Torah, by social sanctions, by parental training, by moral conscience. That constraining inhibition is powerful in most people. In some people, it's like steel. It holds back the passions. With others, the inhibitions are perhaps, to use another simile, like plastic with glue. But there are a few people for whom that veneer, that cover, is no more than paper. The inner curbs against bloodlust and violence and rape and murder are no more than tissue paper tied down with gossamer threads spun by an ineffectual spider. A person so poorly endowed can lead an otherwise normal life for a long time. But place him in an environment which is permissive of violence, which exposes him to harsh talk and to hype and to unrestrained overstatement, to irrational and undisciplined expression, and antisocial urges buried deep within his sick psyche will explode in an unspeakably ugly display of hostility that can turn men into monsters, society into a jungle, and civilization into chaos. Our responsibility is to avoid such an environment, never to be guilty of having knowingly or unknowingly encouraged such bestiality. Our responsibility is to be responsible, to recognize that violent rhetoric invariably leads to violent deeds. Because in the absence of such awareness, we stand accused of having prepared the ground for the explosion of such malevolence by people of weak restraint, like a sewer blowing its cover and uncontrollably spewing forth its odious and miasmic gases. So let's say it. We should never, never permit ourselves the luxury of escalating political differences to such heights of hatred and such depths of depravity. Let us never again, in Yerushalayim or New York, or elsewhere, call a respected leader of Israel a traitor. Let no one tolerate irresponsible individuals who dare refer to the Prime Minister of Israel, no matter of what party, and even if he didn't have a brilliant record on behalf of Israel, to refer to him as a Nazi. And let us silence those raucous voices of vicious discord who declare that it's a mitzvah to assassinate the Prime Minister of Israel. Remember what King Solomon taught, Hachayim v'hamoves biyad haloshon. Words can bring joy and enhance life, but words, oral or written, can also hurt and maim and destroy and kill. And I want to make it clear, nothing in what I say, nothing, absolutely nothing, should be construed as approving or disapproving of the Rabin policy, of condemning or condoning statements he may have made. And that is precisely the point I wish to make. We may deplore what a man says. We may even find it hateful and oppose it with all vigor. But never must we denigrate the Tzelem Elokim which confers upon him his basic human dignity. We may oppose, however strongly, the policy, but not savage the personality. That is not the way of mature, morally mature and responsible, sensitive human beings, and it is certainly not the way of B'nai Torah. The murder of Yitzhak Rabin should put all of us on notice. Tone down the irresponsible rhetoric. In all cases, do not ever, ever cloak political views, no matter how much you believe in them, in the mantle of halacha, something of which only the Sanhedrin can do, because that is a matter of Megala Ponim B'Torah Shaloka Halacha. And keep far away from that self-confidence, that arrogant self-righteousness that persuades us that my ideals are greater and better than your ideals, that I am sincere and the other fellow is not, that we are unquestionably right and he is always wrong, and that we therefore are entitled to force him by eliminating him if need be in order to have our, in quotes, truth prevail. Such arrogance and such invitation to violence and such rhetorical extremism must come to an end, whether in the Knesset, which is perhaps the most violent of all, or in party precincts, whether on the light, on the left or the right, the religious or the secular, whether in Merkaz Harav or in Yeshiva University. Yes, Yeshiva University. We must here develop a renewed sensitivity to all kinds of extremism. And I want to tell you that when I argue against uncivil speech, and it's not only a matter of Israeli politics, but in every area of our communal and personal lives, it's not a matter of taste or literary style. The French say, le style, c'est l'homme. Style reveals character. We have allowed ourselves too often the luxury of extremist expression, of strident invective, of ugly epithets, and we must all band together to learn how to avoid it, whether by young or by old. When man was created, the Torah says, "Hinei tov ma'od." It was very good. And the Medrash, and a rather startling statement, says, "Tov ma'od zehamoves," that's death, incomprehensible. But the great Rabbi Yosef Engel Zatzal explains, "Kol ma'odius hu hamoves." The word he coined. Every ma'od, even tov ma'od, every extremism is deadly. And Shlomo said, "Al tehi tzadik harbe." Everything you do to an extreme is exceedingly, exceedingly dangerous. I return to the object of our grief, to Yitzhak Rabin. who was just laid to rest in Yerushalayim a few hours ago. Yitzhak Rabin was not an observant Jew. He was not a Shomer Mitzvah. Perhaps if we had his upbringing, we would be no better than he. And if he had ours, he might easily outshine us. But he was a great man, and whether or not you agreed with him, his place in Jewish history is assured. The great Mekubal, the Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh, of Chaim Vital, says that there are within man two neshamas, or two levels of neshama. One is nefesh, and one is ruach, and that it is possible to have none of them, or one of them, or both of them. If one is helpful to his fellow humans, and devoted to his people and to his land, he possesses a higher degree of nefesh than one who does not serve his people, even if he is great in Torah and Mitzvah. Whereas the latter possesses ruach, which the former does not. You can have a great nefesh and a small ruach, a great ruach and a small nefesh. I am in no position to judge the quality of Yitzhak Rabin's ruach. But I can tell you this. He had a noble nefesh. His whole life was spent on behalf of his people and of his country of Eretz Yisrael. His nefesh was one of indomitable courage, of bravery in war and in peace, of genuine heroism on the battlefront and in the chancelleries of the world. He laid down his life on the Mizbeach of Shalom. And Shalom is one of the names of God, not a political policy that we should push as our political agenda or that we should look upon with suspicion. In Iran, there is celebration. In Lebanon, there is dancing. In Gaza, there is joyous shooting in the air. But for us, for Jews all over the world, and in the hearts of good men and women of all peoples, there's a profound sadness, an avel kaved ma'od. For we have lost the general who fought for Jerusalem in the War of Independence, the Mechemet Ha'atzmaut, who was chief of staff of the armed forces of Israel in the 1967 Six-Day War, in which he liberated Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh, who served his country gallantly as ambassador, as minister of labor, twice as minister of defense and prime minister, and who above all was a man of great nefesh, of a courage in both war and peace that will inspire generations to come of our people. Tehei nafsho v'rucho v'nishmaso tzedura b'tzor hachayim.
To recite the Haskara, I call on Rabbi Dr. Israel Miller, the Senior Vice President Emeritus of Yeshiva University. Dr.
אל מלא רחמים, שלחים במרומים, המצא מנוחה נכונה תחת כנפי השכינה, במעלות קדושים וטהורים, כזוהר הורקי המזהירים את נשמס, יצחק בן נחמיה, יצחק רבין, ראש הממשלה, ושר הביטחון במדינת ישראל. בעבור שכל בני הישיבה וראשי הישיבה בעם ישראל מזכירים את נשמתו. בגן עדן תהא מנוחתו, לכן בעל הרחמים יסתידהו בסיסר כנפיו לעולמים ויצרור בצרור החיים את נשמתו. אדוני הוא נחלתו וינוח על משכבו בשלום ונאמר אמן.
Our program is concluded. We will ask if you will just let the people on the podium please leave and then exit the auditorium in an orderly fashion. Thank you.